All rise for your ears only. I'm David Alpern.
I'm Melissa Axelberth with a quote from the news. I know he spent his whole life trying to intimidate people, but he should not be doing that here in federal court. That was federal prosecutor Brian T. Kelly to the judge after Boston gang leader James Whitey Bulger cursed at a former FBI official who testified Bulger was an informant as well as a killer. Also in Boston last week, New England Patriots football star Aaron Hernandez was arrested in connection with the murder of his friend Odin Lloyd, then came under investigation for the earlier murder of two other men last year that Lloyd might have known about. Now this.
F***ing punks. These assholes. They always get away. Those were the words in that defendant's head. Just moments before he pressed that pistol into Trayvon Martin's chest and pulled the trigger.
Knock, knock. Who's there? George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman, who? All right, good. You're on the jury.
Fortunately for George Zimmerman, opening statements at trial do not a verdict make. Legal experts initially praised the prosecutor for a stark opening that portrayed the Neighborhood Watch volunteer's mindset and motivation for confronting and ultimately killing unarmed black teen Trayvon Martin. Defense lawyer Don West, by contrast, was scorned for a tasteless and derogatory opening joke to suggest the difficulty finding impartial jurors for the second-degree murder case in which Zimmerman is pleading self-defense.
By the weekend, however, the table seemed to turn significantly. One prosecution eyewitness recalled seeing Martin on top as he and Zimmerman struggled, though others disagreed. And the medical assistant who examined Zimmerman afterwards conceded that his wounds, though not actually life-threatening, could have made him fearful of serious, perhaps fatal injury, the required grounds for self-defense. To talk more about week one of the Zimmerman trial for Your Ears Only, we're joined by Renee Sandler, a Maryland defense attorney and former prosecutor. She appears frequently as a legal analyst on CNN's Headline News. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's start with the jury chosen. Six women, all but one of them white. Do you see any advantage there for either the defense or prosecution because of the victim's race and age?
Well, I think initially, as I looked at the demographics of this particular panel, I would have to say that the advantage generally, in my experience, would go towards the state. You have a young victim. Race may or may not be an issue. Depends on your perspective here. But you have a young person, unarmed, who was killed at night, and you have the Skittles and the soda in his hand. Difficult facts for a panel of women to listen to. So generally, I think it's a bit state-slanted, but, you know, this is going to turn on the facts and the evidence, and it was an up week for the defense.
Next, to the opening statements, especially the defense lawyer's joke, a textbook example of what not to do?
Absolutely horrible. I mean, there is no nice way for me to portray that joke. In poor taste, never, ever is humor the way to begin your first contact with a jury on behalf of a defendant who is on trial for his life. It's terribly poor judgment.
Did Lawyer West also risk appearing to browbeat the young woman with whom Trayvon was on the phone until the final struggle?
The problem with his cross-examination is that it lacked a strategy and a plan, and the witness got the better of him, if you want to know my honest opinion. He did what he needed to do in showing the inconsistencies, but he needed to get in and get out. The longer that young lady stayed on that stand, as inconsistent and as full of attitude as she was, I think it endeared her to the jury. So that was the difficulty there in watching that over 5 hours.
What about the new Zimmerman on view? Classified as obese at the time of the shooting, he now weighs more than 300 pounds. Does that make him look more or less threatening to a teenager like Trayvon Martin, who was pretty sturdy himself?
I think that any human being with common sense, like these jurors have, will recognize the stressful nature of a trial and recognize his weight gain for really what it is. But I don't think that's going to be a factor here.
Does the jury actually have to like or relate to him to agree that he may well have feared for his life?
Absolutely not. I've had so many trials where the jury, in talking to them afterwards, couldn't relate to my client at all. In fact, didn't like my client or anything about him. But they, as jurors do, they have an oath, they uphold their oath, and they stick to the law and they stick to the facts. And if you look at the facts of this case and you look at the testimony this past week, the facts came in favorable in the state's case for the defense.
Does it matter at the point that such fear for his life, whether justified or not, but in his mind, could lead to a fatal shooting, that Zimmerman began the episode by following Martin against the advice of a police dispatcher?
The most difficult piece of evidence in this case is just that, and that's the 911 call where the dispatcher says, "We don't need you to do that," meaning back off. We don't need you to follow him. And it appears that he did. So that is an enormous hurdle for the defense. However, he can approach and be sort of the first aggressor, if you will, and then retreat, and then it be something that, as we understand, there was a terrible fight between the two, then led to this confrontation with Trayvon Martin, which then put him in a situation in his mind where he needed to use deadly force to protect himself. And that's where this appears to be going. And that's where the last couple of witnesses set the scene for this defense and self-defense.
Does it matter that Zimmerman seemed to be as unemotional and uninterested in medical treatment as some witnesses described him right after the shooting, given the prejudicial state of mind earlier suggested by those words the prosecutor quoted?
I think the prosecutor certainly wants this jury to believe that, and they're going to draw any inferences they can from that. However, this man killed someone. This man acknowledged he killed someone immediately thereafter. This man was in an absolute state of shock, and I think to really draw further conclusions from that and the way he delivered information and how he said it and what he looked like, I think is unfair at this point.
To what degree is the jury system itself on trial in this case and the right of self-defense in a nation increasingly awash in guns and fear of guns?
It's an absolutely fantastic question, and it hits on the pulse of what we all are thinking and feeling, I think, with guns and all the tragic things that we've seen in this country. But I hate to think that our jury system or our legal system is on trial where we're dealing with the loss of one life and someone defending the other life, meaning George Zimmerman, because we have to look at the Constitution. We have to focus on the aspects of the trial, the law, the evidence. And if this jury acquits, it's because it wasn't there, and they didn't believe that the burden of proof was met. Beyond that, I think we all watch very curiously, but I really hate to see what happened in the Casey Anthony case to happen here in the event that Zimmerman is acquitted.
Renee Sandler is a Maryland defense attorney and former prosecutor who frequently provides legal commentary for television.
Quote from the news, "Can't have them all." That was tennis star Roger Federer after losing in the Wimbledon quarterfinals to the world's 116th ranked player. Rafael Nadal lost in round one.
Next, Leaker in Limbo, for your ears only.